Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show. It's just me and Nick this week. Dave is out in Washington living his Twin Peaks best life.
I was going to say, yeah. He's seen the waterfall. He, I think, went to the Double R.
Yep. I assume there's a backward-speaking dwarf in his dreams.
Of course. I mean, that's just what happens when you go to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, he is out there celebrating his birthday. It is his birthday today as we record.
It is.
Happy birthday, Dave. You're not listening to this, but, you know.
Happy birthday.
There's no way Dave's listened to this podcast and is on his week off.
I don't think he's ever listened to any podcast he's ever done.
I don't think he has either. And in fairness, I mostly don't either.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't mostly listen to podcasts I'm on.
Who likes to hear their own voice?
Not me. Yeah, like when I have my TV podcast that I do, I will listen to the episodes I'm not on.
Right.
Because I want to know what they're saying about me.
You already know what I said. Yeah.
I will occasionally listen to little bits of it to make sure it works.
That makes sense.
But that's it. But yes, you, the person listening to this, you have heard more of my voice than I ever will. We're going to do a quick podcast this week. Done a lot of news, done a lot of topics. So we're just going to talk a pretty sizable week of comics.
Yep.
And the games that came in this week, which also we had a few of. So it is the last week of the board game sale.
Yes.
If you want any of the clearance stuff, 50% off. This is your last shot before 2024.
There's a lot of good stuff still on
there. There's a couple things I would buy if I didn't have three or four unwrapped games sitting at home already.
Yeah.
Three or four being underestimated by quite a bit. But yeah, there's some good stuff in there. That will wrap up, I believe, on Sunday. I'll be packing the rest up. So,
yeah.
We got a big restock on indie RPGs.
Right.
Including about 20 new ones. I'll run down a few of them. We got CBR PNK, which is
okay.
A cyberpunk game using the Forge of the Dark system. It's got, like, dry erase character sheets.
It looks neat.
And the premise is, it is, like, your last run. You're doing your one last ride for Cyberpunk, which seems kind of fun. We got Deathcap Sauté, which is the RPG of making mushrooms.
Sure.
We got Down with the Bourgeoisie, which is a anti-fascist bear game.
It sounds like akin to Shirtless Bear Fighter, but
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. We got Pigeons 11, Bee Birds Do Crime. That uses the same system as the Princess game and the Business Wizards game.
Okay.
Polymorphs, what's it called? They just have a game called Mazes.
Somebody's going to come and ask him, do you have a Pigeon Crime game? And
like,
you're
yes,
going to get a
do.
Look,
yeah.
And then we'll be like, yeah, we've got it on the shelf.
We got a game called Owlbear Omelette, in which you are goblins trying to make...
An Owlbear Omelette?
An Owlbear Omelette. You're trying to steal... eggs from dangerous beasts.
They're trying to kill our store mascot?
Yes.
That's mean, goblins. Why?
And then we got a bunch of new solo RPGs. We got one that's a playlist game. You're like basically programming an AM radio station. We got a restock on quite a few. Whispers in the Walls is one of them. Broken Cask, where you're running an inn.
Wasn't there a new one from the Thousand-Year-Old Vampire guys?
Yes, there's a new one called A Collection of Improving Exercises from the guy at Thousand-Year-Old Vampire.
Which is super popular.
We got a time travel solo game called Project Echo.
Okay.
We got one called Final Girl, where you're the final girl. And one called Catch Me. That is about a killer and a near inevitable a chase and a near inevitable catch.
And the ones we just listed are all solo games.
These are all solo RPGs. Yeah.
It's a neat idea to do a solo RPG.
It's sort of guided journaling. I mean, even Star Trek has that one now.
Yeah.
So I've done a little bit. I mean, it's a weird thing. I had to wrap my head around it. Kind of like co-op games and legacy games.
But if you're a writer also, or like want to kind of do it, it's a nice little exercise as well.
Yeah. All right, and then we also got the latest Marvel Champions, Psylocke and Angel.
Yep.
We got Pirate Borg, speaking of RPGs, that I think y'all are all obsessed with Borg.
I think we're obsessed with rolling on tables to make different characters.
Yeah.
That's what we're obsessed with. And the Borg games are just a ton of fun. Yeah. They've kind of got a little nihilistic viewpoint to them, but the art is gorgeous, especially in the Pirate Borg one. It's just kind of got that. There's a lot of deep ones and like Cthulhu kind of vibes to it. It's just gorgeous to look at. But
okay.
It's a lot of fun. It's got a nice little sense of humor as well. So
you know, we've got those table... there's two things that are sci-fi books that are a little spiral-bound
mm-hmm.
that are like character building and GM stuff that's all tables all and that right. kind of thing, too. That we should probably point to people who are getting the Borg stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
We got the fantasy versions. They sold out, but this is the sci-fi version. Yeah. My son loves those books. He's constantly rolling on those tables. We got the Lord of the Rings Adventure book game,
right.
which is similar to the Princess Bride.
Yeah, this is kind of like those, like akin to like the Rising games that they sort of adapt different things
yeah.
to, right?
Yeah, and it's a co-op, I believe.
Yeah. I'm sure this one is a lot of fun. I know the last Lord of the Rings board game that was like the, what, the Mount Doom one?
Yeah, we just got that.
We keep selling that crazy.
And then we got Legendary What If. That's the Marvel Legendary, their deck builder. What If is their new starter set, so you can actually use an expansion, or it is a base set, all based around multiverse stuff.
Right.
And we just got in, as you're listening to this, as long as you're listening on Wednesday, Star Trek Discovery Black Alert,
yep.
which is a two-player game. One of you is playing the Discovery, and the other of you is playing the Discovery from the Mirror Universe.
Oh, and
it's like a cat-and-mouse game.
Oh.
And so the Discovery from our universe can mushroom drive hop,
mm-hmm.
and the other one can't. So, like, you have a little advantage trying to stay ahead of them, but if they catch you, they're more heavily armed.
Okay. But you see where... It's not like a hidden movement game or anything like
no,
that?
No, I think you see where
okay,
you're going.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool. That's a neat twist.
And then we got Overboss Duel, which is the boss monster... it's a boss monster spinoff, and this is the two-player version of it.
Okay.
Yeah. That covers all our games for the week.
And we will have our... Heroclix.
Oh, yeah, we'll have Heroclix, although by the time you hear this, may already be gone.
They might, because this is
pre-release. A small allocation of it.
But this one is
Notorious.
Cool. It's called Notorious. It has a lot of the deceased DC characters,
yep.
so Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Looks like also some Black Lanterns and,
yeah.
Some cool stuff, and we expect them to go pretty quick.
Yep, and if you're into Heroclix, we also do have the Iconics Batman slapping Robin.
And we also just did a pretty heavy restock on both Heroclix in general. We've
yep.
got a lot of the
last three or four sets.
And then we just did a new big D&D, the painted miniature boxes.
Right,
we got
those,
a big reorder.
A little thin, but we
yeah.
put all the pre-painted minis in.
So if you need your Van Richten's boosters for your module, then go for it.
There you go. All right, let's talk about comics last week of September. There are first of all, I should mention there's a fair amount of trades this week.
Yeah.
I think Marvel had like 7 or 8, DC had like 3 or 4, and then there's other indie trades. But I want to mention specifically this week and last week, they're starting to gear up for the Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the Captain Marvel Saga of Monica Rambeau and the Captain Marvel Saga of Carol Danvers,
right.
which reprints a lot of those characters. And then there's also a all-ages storybook about the Marvels that has Kamala Khan and Captain and Carol and Monica.
I mean, it's a good time for if you want to learn about these characters.
Yep, yep. They're trying to get ready before the movie comes in. Yeah. But yeah, there's a bunch of trades this week.
I think the big one, which I'm blanking on the actual name of it, but it's the Jeff Lemire, Matt Kent.
Oh, yeah, Cosmic Detective.
Cosmic Detective is
an
OGN with art by David Rubin. I didn't get a chance to read it. I flipped through it, and the art is stunning.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous, very bright. And I guess it's sort of about literally a cosmic detective.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sort of noir with a little bit of a sci-fi bent to it.
Which,
so, yeah.
If that sounds cool to you and you like those
yeah.
creators.
Yeah, Lemire's done a lot of good stuff. So,
yeah.
And Ruben's a great artist. So, yeah, I'm curious to check that one out as well. DC wise, the Dawn of DC returns after Night Terrors that
yep.
paused it. There's Power Girl number one, which sort of redefines her as a very much kind of like the Supergirl. Like she's from an alternate world, right?
Notoriously, she has had like 37 different backstories.
At one point, she was from Atlantis.
Yes, at one point she was from Atlantis. Geoff Johns got a hold of her to sort of kind of give her a better story.
Yep.
And then even now they've changed it again, so she is the Supergirl of Earth 2.
Right.
Which I think is at one point was that.
Yes. Yep.
But she now has a new alter ego.
Yep.
She is learning about her new abilities.
And she's a telepath. Is her telepath sidekick from like Teen Titans, maybe? Omen?
I believe she was the psychiatrist that she was seeing in, like, the backups of Action Comics.
Because there's also, like, they mentioned Lazarus Planet. She's got a weird... She's got a new power. She can punch through realities.
Yep. Kind of like you were saying, like, in a very America Chavez. Very much
like America Chavez. But, yeah, this is sort of a... She's on the outs with the Superman family a little bit and doing her own thing. They did, of course, keep the boob window, the thing people know Power Girl for. It's a solid first issue.
It's got a little bit of... It's weird to say, but a Birds of Prey, because they're kind of doing, like, secret missions and... it's got a little espionage-y to it, but they're running into some new threats. And yeah, it was a good first issue.
Yep. And then we got Flash number one, which is Cy Spurrier and Mike Deodato Jr. doing a sort of a cosmic horror riff on Flash, which is something we have not seen before.
No.
But yeah, there's something wrong with the Speed Force. And Deodato's art on this is spectacular.
It really is. His panel layouts are very interesting and... eye-catching.
And trippy in some places.
He draws the super speed in such a way that I don't know. It's very eye-catching and grabby, and I'm not usually a Cy Spurrier fan. I will just say that. And this story is interesting. There are a couple of things that I'm like, I need to see where they go, but kind of the threats he's dealing with, Wally's now working for, like, Terrifatech, or...
Mr. Terrific's
company. Mr. Terrific's company, which I thought was an interesting spin on no longer being a crime scene detective.
No, that's not...
Oh, that's Barry.
That's Barry.
Sorry. I don't remember exactly what Wally did.
Wally was a wealthy wastrel. He did not have any skills. Which is why it's weird he's working for a tech company, but I'm like, oh, it's owned by his buddy. That makes sense.
A wealthy wastrel. It's interesting.
He has a baby with his wife. They already have two kids who both have super speed.
Yep.
They're doing some interesting stuff with that. This does feature Gorilla Grodd. But yeah, it's an interesting take. And like I say, that art is spectacular.
It is.
From AWA, we've got a new book called Rumpus Room from Mark Russell. If you know Mark Russell at all, you know his stuff always has a political bent to it.
Yep.
This is basically about a sociopathic billionaire who is kidnapping people and keeping them in his private dungeon, and they seem to be fighting for his amusement. Basically, our lead character gets kidnapped and is maybe going to change things and they're going to be an escape attempt.
Yeah.
But it's got really nice art by Ramon Rosanas.
It does. I didn't get a chance to read it. I kind of skimmed it just to get the gist of it. It looks weird as hell. And
it's a good first issue. It's nice and it's tense. It's interesting. Russell's a good moment to moment writer. Yeah. It was worth reading.
Okay.
Vault has a book called Sainted Love, which is a big, giant, like double sized first issue. This is a gay comic with full frontal nudity, so be warned. Mm-hmm. There is sex in it.
Okay.
But basically, it's a two guys in 1907. There's a Tesla esque inventor. And there's a bare-knuckle boxer who is managed by a woman, which in 1907 is very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, something happens where they time travel to 1950s.
Okay.
And they both set up there, which is also not super friendly to a gay couple. But it's a really interesting story. It's got really nice art. If you are the type of person who likes these stories, this is what you will like this story.
Okay.
I feel like anybody who liked like Chester 5000 and some of those kind of books would definitely dig this. It's a really good first issue. And it has, just like I say, really nice art.
Yeah.
The Batman Catwoman Gotham War continues with the Red Hood. It's not a one shot. I think it's like a 3-issue miniseries.
Yeah, but it's kind of filling in some gaps that happened during the first part of the Gotham War, mainly focusing on Jason Todd's involvement with Catwoman's.
Right.
It was an interesting look at Jason Todd and his ability to not let the Joker thing go.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to put him in this position where he's basically training criminals when he is sort of the scourge of the underworld. It's kind of like a Punisher was out there training thieves.
It's a little strange.
It's a little strange.
But he has ulterior motives.
It's good. And I'm actually still really enjoying the Gotham War story.
Yeah. Rosenberg is a good writer, and he has a good handle on Jason Todd.
Usagi Yojimbo comes back. It moved from Dark Horse to IDW. It's back at Dark Horse. It's been at 5 or 6 different publishers.
I was going to say, I think it's gone round robin to everyone.
And it's still being done by Stan Sakai, who's been doing it for 30 to 40 years.
Yeah.
And this new series called Ice and Snow. and has Usagi and his cousin, who is a character I wasn't familiar with, basically fighting some Ronin. Meanwhile, the sort of evil demon Jason is out there with her adoptive niece, I think, and looks like they'll probably will have a run-in with one another. And there's going to be some, if you know Usagi, there's going to be some yokai and some cool samurai fights and stuff. It's doing what Usagi always does, which is really good. It's always good to have it back. We got another Marvel set facsimile, the Micronauts number one. This, like ROM, has been out of print for years, decades.
And they have announced that they're doing a omnibus of Micronauts.
They must have gotten, they must have some brief hitch in the license where they're able to actually get this. But so they're printing the first issue so you can see what it's like. And I had never read this. I know Dave was a Micronauts fan back in the day.
He was.
This is Bill Mantlow, and it's got art by Michael Golden, and it's a great first issue. As I read through this, it's like, it introduced all the characters, the conflict, there's basically, it's kind of Star Wars-y, there's a an Baron evil Karza. Dictator, Baron Karza, who's taken over the, what was a monarchy, and the lead is an explorer who's been gone for like 1,000 years because of like suspended animation, that kind of thing.
And this is where Bug came from, that Abnon Lanning used.
It's a good introduction to all these characters.
I mean, you say you have Michael Golden doing a Micronauts book. That's insane.
Yeah, the art's really good.
I mean, at this point, it was a licensed book from a toy that you get such a talented artist to do. Yep. But I guess he did it because he did G.I. Joe as well. So
yeah, no, it's great.
I think a lot of people should check it out just to see. This is not probably going to be around for too long.
No, no. And I think, yeah, if you don't want to buy the Big Giant Omnibus, this is a good way to sample it.
Yeah.
I am going to be buying the Big Giant Omnibus.
I think a lot of people will. I'm curious. I don't know if I can justify it, but yeah. It has a lot of cool stuff in it. Dave has told me a lot about it.
It is really cool. I thought it was just a fantastic first issue.
Yeah.
We got some notable second issues this week.
Yes.
We got Immortal Thor number 2, which I know we all really enjoyed number 1. I thought number 2 was a good continuation.
I think it was too. It continued kind of the mysteries, and I was very enamored with word balloons. I don't see that very often, like a character's inner thoughts utilized in comics anymore, and I liked that Al Ewing kind of brought it back a little bit.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. The art is still stunning. And I'm very curious as to what he is doing with Thor.
What's funny is Immortal Hulk could not be more different. Like, the only thing the same is called Immortal Thor, the same writer. But it's a Thor book. It is not applying the same lessons to Immortal Hulk.
Right. And there's definitely kind of, like, big ideas, and there's some, like, darkness in there. But it feels very Thor. It is larger, godlike stories.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's awesome.
We also got the second issue of Marvel Unleashed, their animal comic, which brings in Doctor Strange's ghost dog Bats and Throg.
And Throg. Honestly, Kyle Starks is just hitting all the right buttons on this
one. It's super fun, and it's also not, I mean, it's got some fun, but it's not like goofy.
No, it's not dumb. It's not like a silly one-off. The villain they're going up against is a major villain.
Yeah.
And there's just some fun surprises, really well-paced story, and he's kind of fleshing out all these animal characters, and have given us a D-Dog, which I love.
Yeah. It's super fun. We got the second issue of Ms. Marvel, The New Mutant, which is, I think, a 4 or 6 issue miniseries.
I believe it was 6, if I'm remembering correctly. Right.
Which is, again, bringing Ms. Marvel into the mutant fold.
Yep.
Second issue of Godzilla War for Humanity, which Dave talked up last time.
Yep.
It is a new take on some of the kaiju stuff. The final issue of Ultimate Invasion, which will wrap up and then lead into a one-shot that is setting up a new Ultimate Universe.
Yep.
And then a
couple of just
new issues of Green Arrow and Avengers. Anything else?
There's a big event. If you're an X-Men fan, spinning out in Invincible Iron Man, there is a fourth issue.
I forgot about Void Rivals.
Fourth issue of Void Rivals. New issue of Christopher, or the Oddly Pedestrian Life of Christopher Chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
Action Comics comes back with a new Jumping On Point.
Right.
And then there's an R.L. Stine horror book called Stuff of Nightmares.
Yeah.
That, I guess he's doing a couple of just one-shots focusing on various types of horror. This is sort of a pop culture horror. The next one looks like it's going to be a Santa horror.
Okay, sure.
Because, you know, Christmas you do.
Time. Yeah.
And then there's also a new issue of Jean Grey, or the second issue of Jean Grey.
All right. I think that's all. That's all for us this week.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a quick podcast this week, y'all. We'll be back with more next week, and until that time,
Yo, Joe.
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.